everybody, and welcome to episode 325 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Cruznez. And before I get to the real heart of the episode, I do want to talk about a game I talked about on the last episode, The Dwarves. So, on the day I recorded the last episode, they released their day one patch. I think the game officially comes out today or yesterday. But the day one patch was supposed to on consoles. It came out for both PS4 and Xbox One same day. I, of course, was playing it on Xbox One, and it was supposed to fix a lot of the performance issues where frame rates would be dropping and a bunch of other technical issues. So I was excited to try it out afterwards, even though I thought there were still issues with the gameplay that performance, regardless, improvements would not make it any better. But the performance was so bad that it would, without question, be very helpful. But what I found out after putting in a few more hours after the patch was that I didn't really notice any improvements, and I actually noticed some new problems. Specifically, the most notable was when viewing the overworld map and navigating, any time I would go to a new point, not every time, but a lot of the time, and it would vary how significant and bad it was, the screen would shake for a few seconds, at most 5 seconds. So it would just kind of like shake back and forth, like it was having a seizure every time I would do that. So it would just be like jitter, jitter, jitter every time I'd move to a new point. Once again, almost every time, not 100% of the time. And it seemed like when I'd load the game, it would be very, very bad at the first point, and then it gets slightly better, and then it's slightly better, and then maybe at one point it wouldn't jerk at all, and then it would jerk again at the next one, and it kind of would go on this little like roller coaster ride. But for the most part, it would jitter at least somewhat every time. And then frame rate problems were still existent. I didn't notice any improvements, really. And yeah, it's still a performance disaster on Xbox One, at least. And from what I've heard on PS4 pre-patch, it was also a problem, but I haven't heard anyone talk about it post-patch, so I don't know if it actually improved the PS4 version, but as it is right now, I still have to tell everyone to stay away from the Dwarves on at least Xbox One, which is the console I play the game on, because it's just a buggy mess, and despite what it does well and the things I like about it, I can't really let the performance issues slide. And then, like I said, the gameplay is not that great either, with these bits of just like the way you move in the game just feels really floaty, like you're ice skating, and there doesn't seem to be that much strategy, not as much as the game may make it out like it there is. But yeah, The Dwarves, do not buy it on Xbox One. Probably do not buy it on PS4. PC, you can go for it. But I don't have any personal experience with that, so buyer beware. So, now that that's out of the way, what I want to talk about is ReCore, which I finally started playing. I picked it up. It was one of the games I picked up during the Black Friday sales and all that jazz. And I've put in probably 3-4 hours into it so far, and I really, really like it. And a large part of it, pretty much all of it, is just on the controls. Just it feels so good. It just feels really, really good. So tight, and it's a lot of fun to play it. My concern is that eventually, because I'm already starting to feel it kind of, is that I'm going to find out that, or I'm going to realize that there isn't really that much to do. I mean, there's still things, a lot of things I have to unlock in terms of the robot companions. I still only have the first dog version, and I think there are three other ones. I can tell there are certain abilities I don't have because I can go around these environments, see these things that I can't do anything with, and I'm like, okay, so once I get some new ability, I'll be able to maneuver through here. But the environments don't feel like they're going to be getting that different. Like, I don't think there's going to be much variety. You're going to have your deserty exterior and then your little cavernous interiors, and that's it. I feel like. I don't know, of course. The loading is long, but it isn't as bad as I remember people talking about. I haven't experienced any minute-plus loads, but I have experienced some like 30, 45-second loads, mostly when I'm first launching the game. But it's just really fun to play, and I think it's kind of accessible, too, for people who aren't really, or people who are new to games, and in a way that might turn some people off, because the one thing that I really like, because it just, it makes it feel really, real smooth, is there's a lock-on system with your weapon, and when you lock onto an enemy, you can switch between enemies by just flicking the right analog stick. But more so than that, which makes it feel really, really fluid, is that once you destroy an enemy, when you're locked on, if you're still holding the lock on key, which is the left trigger, you just automatically move on to the next closest target. And I could see some people being like, well, this is just like super easy, takes no skill, because you just hold down the left trigger, then hold the right trigger to fire, because you have unlimited ammo. It's just a cooldown system, and it takes a while to actually reach the point where you're going to have to lay off the trigger and recharge your weapon. But and I've only gotten one color so far, but there's a somewhat interesting combat aspect where you change the color of your gun, and I'm guessing it's going to be red, yellow, and blue. I only have red right now, and then if there are red enemies, you switch to red, does more damage, etc. It doesn't look that great. It doesn't look bad, but it does look more like a budget title. It is a $40 game, of course, and if you picked it up on sale, you got it for either $20 or $15, somewhere in that ballpark. And yeah, I think $40, I don't think is a bad price, but I think $20, $25 is probably a no-brainer. So I think if people missed out on the sale, that's too bad. But yeah, I'm really enjoying my time with it just because it feels really, really good. And I'm genuinely surprised by it, but I do have concerns that it's going to sooner than later become somewhat repetitive. And I'm going to take a break from it as well because I'm picking up from Redbox Final Fantasy 15 to see if I want to buy it with next week's Best Buy deal, which is buy two, get one free, where I'm thinking about getting Dead Rising 4, Watch Dogs 2, and Final Fantasy 15 because I don't know what the third game I want is. I know The Last Guardian is coming out, but I refuse to pay. No way in hell am I going to pay $60 for it, and I don't think I'll pay anything over $20 for it. Not that I don't think it'll be good, and not that I don't want it, but I was talking with Lunchbox about this on Twitter, but I bought my PS3 for two games, the next Metal Gear game and the next Team Ico game. I ended up hating Metal Gear Solid 4, and I think as time passes, more people are starting to fall in line with me regarding Metal Gear Solid 4, because when it first came out, there were a lot of 10s and people just loving it, and I hated it right off the bat because I just thought, one, the game went way downhill after Act 2. Act 3 was an absolute disaster. I hated the pandering Act 4 did, where just like, hey, you liked the first game here, let's just put you down memory lane. I don't want to do all that. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of stuff in general, especially when it's done to excess. And I don't think the bosses were that memorable. They all felt the same, and I can't think of a single one that was memorable. I cannot tell you one boss from Metal Gear Solid 4. Except I think they brought back Vampire Guy, right? Because he was in the cutscene where Raiden came back to do his badass take down a whole bunch of little Metal Gears or whatever, I think. And then I think there was also like, hey, here's our version of Psycho Mantis. But then everyone was just kind of like a person in a bodysuit or something, and nothing really felt that special about any of them. And the story was just garbage. And the fact that it ended with a like hour and a half cutscene really pissed me off. And also the little like Street Fighter, whatever, fighting game ending against Revolver Ocelot. Hated that too. So I really hated that game. And then, of course, we all know that the next Team Ico game, which ended up being Last Guardian, never ended up coming out on PS3. And I can't remember, is there a PS3 version? I think there is, which would make sense because I don't know what people are smoking, but the art design and all that is great in The Last Guardian, but it is clearly a PS3 game on PS4. It is not a PS4 game. They didn't do anything to, you know, they didn't do that much, because if they wanted to do that, it would have been delayed even longer. So paying $60 for that, I think, is ridiculous, and I refuse to do it. I don't want to pay $40 either, so $20 is probably where I'll bite at it. And I really don't know how the game's going to do at this point. You have your people who really want it, but I don't know if people who were never that interested in it in the first place are going to care enough. Because I haven't felt like there's been a lot of push for it. I think they're just like, hey, the people who want this game have been following it. They know when it's coming out, so they'll get it. But yeah. So Final Fantasy 15, I want to try it because it sounds interesting. It sounds like something that I might dig. And I know the demo that I played that I didn't really care for was just a demo and not even a part of the actual game. And some of the GIFs I've been seeing are just ridiculous. And yeah, sounds like it could be something I really enjoy. But who knows? And it could be the first Final Fantasy game I ever finish if I do pick it up. Yeah, I had so many ums in the last like 30 seconds. But moving on, I also tried out the new DirecTV streaming service, which is under a bit of controversy because of net neutrality and all this jazz, because AT&T owns DirecTV, right? It's not the other way around. That wouldn't make any sense. The service is called DirecTV Now. It's basically a way to stream satellite, you know, cable TV, whatever, without needing a cable box, a satellite, a dish, or anything like that. And the big controversy is the fact that if you're an AT&T internet subscriber, so if you have UVerse, though I don't think they call it UVerse anymore. I think I remember them getting an email where they just like, we're now calling it AT&T high-speed internet, whatever. But if you are an AT&T internet subscriber, the service will not be counted against your bandwidth cap, which is huge because I have a terabyte cap, and I am the kind of person who gets close to it every month because I have a lot of games, download games, and then they like to update them, and sometimes updates are huge, and something like Smite, which updates maybe at least once a week and is always a full update of like 5 gigs just by itself, which annoys the hell out of me. I hate how much that game updates. It drives me crazy. But I get close to it, you know, and you throw on top of that streaming services like Netflix, Crunchyroll, Funimation, which I'll be getting into a little bit later, Hulu, Amazon Prime, all that jazz. I get close to it, and I always make sure on the final day I look at how far I am, and then I'm like, okay, I should download this game, which I deleted a while ago, or you know what, I'll delete this game and re-download it, or something along those lines, because having the cap annoys me. I don't like it, and I would probably not use as much if I didn't have the cap, but now knowing I have the cap, it makes me want to make sure I get the most out of every month just to stick it to them, because it annoys the crap out of me. But DirecTV Now, I've only used it for a very small bit, but what I'm impressed by it, and I have used Sling TV in the past. I haven't used PlayStation View. I can't compare it to that. There is no DVR function, no cloud thing like that, but that is supposedly coming. There's currently a deal where you can get they have four different packages, 35, 50, 60, and then something for various channels. If you get in now, you can get the $60 package for $35, which comes with 100 channels. And if you lock in now, you will get that price for the lifetime of your subscription. You can also prepay for 3 months and get a free Apple TV, the 32 gigabyte version, whatever the $150 model is, which is a very good deal, because even if you end up canceling before that, you get that 150 model for $105, which is a good deal. And it's also a good deal because one of the problems with it right now is where you can watch it. You can watch it on the web, and then you can watch it on the new Apple TV and Google's Chromecast, Google Cast, whatever. They singles out. I don't know what Google Cast is, if that's something different or whatever, but Chromecast. There's no Roku, which is one of the most egregious one's missing, and there's no consoles currently included. I'm sure there will be things added as time passes, but right now it's sort of just the web, your iOS devices, so iPad and Android devices to some extent. I think there's something that's missing. I really don't know what this Google Cast is, because they were like, it's available now on Android and then later on iOS, so I don't know what that is, if it's an app. Whatever, that doesn't make any sense if it was an app. But anyway, it's the places where you can watch it is limited, which is why that Apple TV deal is good. The service itself, what I'm most surprised by is, one, it does look good. The feed quality, pretty good. It's not the best out there, but it's definitely better than Sling. And something where it's way, way, way better than Sling is that switching between channels is super, super fast, and the time it takes for a channel to load is almost immediately all the time, which I really, really appreciate and really, really like. Navigating the guide is easy enough. You can do favorites. Local channel-wise, you get ABC and Fox, and then for some reason, NBC is not currently available on devices, I think. But it is available on the web only, the local feed, which is a weird thing. And then CBS is not available yet, but that might change in the future. But you get a lot of channels for the 100 pack, and I'm considering it because some of the stuff I really want is in that package, like the NHL channel. I'd like to have the ESPN's Fox Sports channels, a lot of sports things, because I like being able to watch the Blackhawks, but having only regular TV, I don't really get to watch that many games. And even if I got the NHL pass or whatever it's called, I wouldn't be able to watch their games anyway because I live in Chicago, so therefore I'd be blacked out of them, which is annoying. So that might be worth it alone for it. And then you get some movies and stuff like that. You get a free week trial, and I think it's worth checking out if you want something that's an alternative to cable and dish, satellite and all that stuff. Or if you don't have that and you want it but don't want to get all that crap installed or anything like that, and something you can also take on the go. And that, like I said, that $35 price is pretty good for what you get, especially if you do the pre-package and get a free Apple TV in the process. You can also do a 1 month pre-purchase and get then a Fire Stick, which is Amazon's little dongle thing. But yeah, I've been surprised. I was surprised when it came out, and I really wasn't paying much attention to it. And then when I looked into it, I'm like, hey, this actually looks like it could be something for me. So I'll probably talk about it again in a future episode, you know, maybe the next one, the one after that, after I go through this trial and see how I feel about it from regular use. I'm kind of right now just leaving it on running to make sure that it's not counting against my bandwidth, because I'm paranoid that that's not the case. Or maybe I want to make sure that it's all good, because that's the key, is having it and having it not have any effect on my bandwidth. Because if it does, then we got a problem. And then last but not least, I just want to say how excited I am that Funimation Now is finally on Apple TV. I've been waiting for months and months and months and months and months for this to happen, because I stopped watching Funimation pretty much because I was sick of watching it on my computer, and I didn't want to kill my iPad battery by doing AirPlay with it to watch it on my TV. And now that it's finally on Apple TV, I don't have to do that, and I can start watching more anime, catching up on some old series, and checking out the new series that are doing the simul dubs for, because they're doing more of those. I've been wanting to check them out. And yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm really excited. I haven't tested it out yet. I just installed it and logged in. Seems like everything's there, so that's good. But I'm excited about finally getting to watch anime dubbed and just what they have in general on my TV. I can maybe finally start watching One Piece, see what that's all about. And I've been wanting to check out Dragon Ball for a good long time now, and I've been holding off on that. And I did not misspeak. I mean Dragon Ball, because that comes before Z. And I heard Dragon Ball is really, really good from my buddy Justin. And of course, if I like that, then I can continue on. But there's no reason to go to Z before Z-less. But that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Just to remind everyone, once again, you have an Xbox One and you think the Dwarves looks good, don't buy it, because it's a mess. Just trust me on that. I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, well, once again, I'm your host, Mark Cugines. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. I am on PSN, the Kush 3. That is the KUSH, the number 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts, and other stuff we do, as well as the art I do, which, if you like, you can pick up some prints. It's a great gift for Christmas, or Hanukkah, or whatever you celebrate. Or if you don't celebrate, it's just a nice thing to have. You can get some prints over at pxsart.com. And if you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and just, you know, be like, hey, I like this show enough to give them $1 every month. Not that much. That's nothing. That's pennies. That's literally like 3 pennies a day. Barely anything. So you can do that if you want as well. Once again, that was patreon.com/pxs. And if you'd like to support the site, not the site, but the podcast, you can go over to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already, because that really does help and it would be greatly appreciated. And of course, tell your friends about the show, because why not share the love? This is the time of year when you share the love. And what's more lovely than this podcast? Don't answer that. Okay. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.